Well, I appreciate you being here this wonderful, beautiful Mother's Day in 2018. I don't think there's a thing wrong with setting aside a day in the year to say thank you to Mom, to praise the Lord for Mom. I read this week, and I thought it would be good to share it with you this morning. It's not real lengthy, but it says, "No one deserves a special day all to herself more than today's mom." A cartoon showed a psychologist talking to his patient. "Let's see," he said. "You spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children." He said, "I think I see the problem." Y'all aren't too good at math, are you? Thank God for moms that give 150%. Thank God for this opportunity to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Timothy. Second Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I've enjoyed the service thus far, recognizing the mothers. That's a blessing, and just thanking God for this time that He's allowed us to be together. What a blessing that is. We trust that you have a great Mother's Day, a great time with your mom. My mom's in heaven. I can't bring her back. To be fair with you, she'd whoop me if I tried. She'd say, "Son, what in the world are you thinking about?" Amen. I can't bring her back, but thank God I can go and be with her. And I will. You say, "How can you say that?" Well, because I believe the Bible. And I believe that, when God makes a promise, you can count on it. It never will be a promise that will be broken. He'll always keep His promises. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I believe it'd be a fair statement to say that Timothy had a special place in Paul's heart. Timothy was not Paul's son in the flesh, but he was Paul's son in the spirit. Paul had had the privilege to lead Timothy to Christ. I believe that Paul was only reaping wherein a godly mother and grandmother had sown. That's what I want to look at. Let's look down and read on down. Verse number 5. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'd like to preach for a little while this morning with the Lord's help on this subject, the difference a godly mama can make. The difference a godly mama can make. Let's pray together. Father, I know that today our hearts and our minds are prone to wander off into maybe this afternoon or this evening's activities, prone to wander maybe back to that time when we sat on the lap of our mother, or when we looked up in the bleachers and there sat our mother. Lord, we just thank you today that we've met here, but we want to get our hearts, Lord, and our attention, our focus, Lord, on the Word of God. Help us, Lord, for a few minutes today to do just that. Look at this example, Lord, this grandmother, this mother that loved God, and this young man, Lord, that made such a difference in his life. Thank you, Lord, for Timothy. I pray, Father, that you'll just use the message today in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I think about a godly mother. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor that has had a godly mother." I say this morning, you're rich beyond measure if you have a godly mother. Charles Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying." Now listen to this. "Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim him as their personal Savior." Think about that prayer for just a minute. She's saying, "God, I'm going to raise them right. And Lord, if need be, if they won't take Jesus, I'll stand and be a witness against them in the day of judgment." You think about that. A teacher asked a boy a question. He said, "Suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. What part of the pie would you get?" "A sixth," replied the boy. "I'm afraid you don't know your fractions," said the teacher. "Remember, there are seven of you." He said, "Yes, ma'am. But you don't know my mama. My mama would say she don't want any pie." Thank God for godly mothers and the difference they can make. I want to give you three things, simple things out of the text today. The difference that this godly mother, Eunice, and this godly grandmother, Lois, made in Timothy's life. There's three simple things here today, but yet they're profound. Number one, you find a young man that's not afraid. Look in verse number 7. The word of God said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Did you know today that many people are afraid when they lay down at night? They're afraid. They're afraid that if they don't make it through the night, that they don't know where they'll go, or maybe they do know where they'll go without Jesus. But Timothy was a young man that did not have to be afraid. He was not afraid because of his father. In verse number 2 and 3, he has a heavenly father, and he also has a spiritual father, the Apostle Paul. He did not have to be afraid because of his faith. In verse number 5, the word of God said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." I don't know about you, but I wasn't real familiar with that word unfeigned. And I had to look it up. And all it means is sincerely. Sincerity without hypocrisy. In other words, beloved Timothy had a faith that was real. And his mother had a faith that was real. And his grandmother had a faith that was real. In other words, she wasn't saying, just do as mama tells you and not as mama does. Help me. But she was living for God and trying to raise a young man that would live for God. He was not afraid because of his father. He was not afraid because of his faith. He was not afraid because of his family. Beloved, listen. We don't see an earthly father in Timothy's life. I don't know if something happened to him. The record's not here. I don't know what happened to Timothy's earthly dad. But he still had a family, had a mama. And he had a grandmother that I believe had raised him. Listen, son, if you'll serve God, you don't have to fear what man's going to do to you. You don't have to be afraid when it comes time to die. You don't have to be afraid if they come to persecute you. You just serve the Lord and it'll be all right. Take the fear out of the way. And then he was not afraid because of his future. Look in verse number 10 and verse number 11. But is now made manifest by the appearing of Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Beloved, listen, Timothy had been taught that this world is not all there is. There's another world. There's another land. There's another home. By the way, for the child of God, that's our real home. Amen. And Timothy didn't have to be afraid because he knew he had a future with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the difference that a godly mother can make in the life of a child. This youngin's not afraid. I want you to know today, listen to me. If you're not saved, you ought to be afraid. The Word of God said the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. Beloved, listen, without Jesus, listen, a man dies without Jesus. A woman dies without Jesus. A boy or girl dies without Jesus. It's come to that age where they know right from wrong and the Spirit of God has spoken to their heart. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me this morning. You ought to be afraid of leaving this world without God. Timothy had been taught, son, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything will be all right. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. Beloved, not only can they make a difference, that godly mother and that Timothy was not afraid, but I want you to get a hold of this. He was not ashamed. Let me just say something to you this morning. I believe if every genuine, born again child of God would stand up in the school, stand up in the workplace, stand up and take their place in the house of God. Are you listening? Stand up in their community. I believe we could have a revival in the United States of America. I believe there's too many. Listen, we went to the zoo with the grandchildren last week, and there was one thing I really noticed about those chameleons and those lizards and those things. You know what they do? They change colors with their environment. How many knows what I'm talking about? Honey, there's one old big and crawled out on a rock, and you could hardly tell it was him. He looked just like the rock he was laying on. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, listen, God's people shouldn't be looking like this world, acting like this world, talking like this world. We shouldn't be a chameleon in this world. We ought to stand up and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. Timothy, the word of God said here, if you notice it with me in verse number 12, he said, for the which cause also I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. The apostle Paul's talking, listen, he's saying, listen, I've been to prison, I've been locked up, I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've been left outside the city for dead, I've been let down over the wall, but let me tell you something, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. I believe that we have a grandmother recorded and a mother recorded and a son and a grandson recorded because there's a family that's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, I believe he ought to be the same to us tomorrow as he is today. I believe when we're wherever we go, whatever we do, I don't believe we ought to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. I think about a young man years ago. I think I've told you this before, but I'll tell it again. Everybody's not heard it that's in this room. There was a young man that went down to Silver Dollar City. That's before it was Dollywood. Now I just told you I'm at least so many years old. Amen. They went down, got him a barbecue sandwich. Hadn't been saved long. I don't even think they'd been saved 6 months. Boy, they had already developed the habit of praying over their food. But this was the first time they were kind of called out in public under the picnic shed, so to speak. And they sat down there, and this man looked at me, or told the church that day, said we looked at each other, looked at my son, and looked at my wife, said we picked up our sandwiches and went to eating. Said for the first time out publicly like that, you know, he said it just seemed like we better not do that here. He said, you want to know what God did? He said, God brought a family in, set them down right in front of us on the other side of the picnic table. Said that family reached out, took one another's hand. Said that family bowed their head. He said, I've never been so ashamed in all my life. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, thank God Almighty, we don't have to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. The fact that we know him. I'll say this. If you're ashamed of your pastor, I'd find me another one. If you're ashamed of this kind of singing, I'd find me the kind of singing I wasn't ashamed of. Say amen. Let me rephrase all that. I'd just get my heart right, and then you wouldn't have to be ashamed of it. Thank God Almighty for singing that ministers to our hearts. Amen. And thank God for the Word of God that's still making the difference in people's lives. We don't need to trim the message. We need the message to trim us. The Word of God don't need to be pruned. But you and I need to be pruned as God's children. He was not ashamed. Let me give you some things right here quickly. He was not ashamed of his tears. Look in verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see you, to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Brother Steve, it looks like that Timothy had picked up on some of the things that were evident in Paul's life. Paul was a man that, like Jeremiah, was a weeping preacher. You find over there in the book of Acts that by the space of 3.5 years, he said, I cease not to warn every one of you day and night with tears. That's what the Word of God said. The Word of God said he taught them publicly and from house to house with tears, the Word of God said. Beloved, I'm telling you this morning that he was not ashamed of his tears. I believe with all of my heart, listen, we ought to ask ourselves this question. When's the last time, beloved? Listen, there's nothing wrong with going with our loved ones when it's time that we have to put them in the grave. There's nothing wrong with weeping. But I'm going to ask you this. Who's weeping over their loved ones that are living? They're living, but they're dying. They're living, but they're on their way to hell. They're living, but they're dead in trespasses and sin. Who's weeping over them today? Beloved Timothy was not ashamed of his tears. Then the Bible teaches us he was not ashamed of his testimony. Look in verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. God spoke to my heart right here. I've never seen this before. I'm not going to be dogmatic, but I'm going to tell you God spoke to my heart right here. You know something? Listen to me. How many knows what I'm talking about when I say that every believer has a testimony? How many knows what I'm talking about right there? Now listen to me carefully. God spoke to my heart. All these years, Brother Grizzle, I thought that's my testimony. You know, that's how I got saved. That's my testimony. But God taught me something right here. God said, no, it's not your testimony. It's my testimony. The Bible said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, when we give our testimony, it shouldn't be us that's in the forefront. It ought to be Him that's being magnified. The testimony of our Lord. I can remember years ago, Daddy, I was a teenager, and Daddy knew I was into some things. Thank God Almighty, he didn't know everything I was into. I probably wouldn't be living to tell about it. But Daddy said years ago, he said, son, we don't have much. And he was right. He said, son, if something don't change, we probably never will have much. He raised 6 children and did a great job. Worked 2 jobs. And I'm not talking about the kind of job where he's sitting behind a desk. I'm talking about labor, manual labor. He worked hard. He said, son, we don't have much and we probably never will have much. He said, but son, there's one thing we do have. We have a good name. My daddy looked at me, and I'll never forget as long as I'm living. He said, son, please don't drag our name in the mud. He said, please don't drag our name in the mud. And I'll tell you right now, you could go into Harford County, Maryland. You could go to Glade Spring, Virginia. You could go to Jonesboro, Tennessee. You could go to the 4 different churches that daddy was in throughout his life and ask the pastors and ask the people. My daddy, my friend, had a good name, and he still got a good name. Because, listen, Jesus saved him and made a difference in his life. Amen. How can a godly mother make a difference? They can raise a youngin' that's not afraid. They can raise a youngin' that's not ashamed. Not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then he was not ashamed of his trials. Look in verse number 16 with me for just a moment. The Word of God uses a little phrase right here. He said here, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? This chain in Paul's life, it refers to the trials that he's going through. It refers to the Onesiphorus was not ashamed of the chain in Paul's life. He would come to him and he would minister to him, while others may not think about going to him. As a matter of fact, if you look at it there, I believe it's in the Word of God. Let me see it right here. Verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Listen, he said all the rest of them turned away. But there was one, Onesiphorus, he wasn't ashamed of my chain. Tell you something, beloved, listen. I believe Onesiphorus was a friend. You want to say, preacher, why do you believe that? Because here, listen carefully, a friend loveth at all times. Beloved, listen. Paul is telling us here about a young man that's not afraid, a young man that's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of his tears, of his testimony, of his trials. Let me give you this in closing. Here's a young man, the difference a godly mama can make. I think about little Sawyer, Bob, and Charity. I pray that day will come when he is afraid and he runs to the one that can take the fear away. What's that line, Brother Ralph? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fears relieved. The same grace of God, beloved, that causes us to see ourselves lost and undone on our way to hell without God will come along and take away the fear and say that in Jesus, perfect love casteth out fear. It says here, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The last thing I want to give you, hope little Sawyer be not afraid, and I hope that day will come when he'll not be ashamed to be identified with a King James Bible. Amen. Not be ashamed to be identified with an old-fashioned church. Amen. Not be ashamed that his papaw is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last thing I want to give you is this. Timothy is not afraid and he's not ashamed. but he's not alone. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, I believe that Timothy, he knew that his mama had his back. I believe he knew that his Savior had his back. I believe he knew that the Apostle Paul had his back. I believe he knew that the Holy Ghost had his back. Reminds me of something I said, I think it's been a year or so ago. I've repeated it a couple of times, many times in private, to different people. I don't know what I'll have to go through before I leave this world. But this I know, I'm confident of this. I won't have to go through it alone. Oh, you say, "Well, preacher, what if you run that car out of the road down over the bank somewhere and it's just you and that car?" It'll never be just me and that car. Oh, there's somebody in my life bigger than a car. There's somebody in my life bigger than the trials. But I thank God for my friends. I thank God for the faith. I thank God for my Heavenly Father. And I thank God for my family. He's not alone. The Bible said here, "The Lord grant unto him that he find mercy of the Lord in that day." He's not alone because he knows the Lord is coming. He's not alone because he said here in verse 14, keep unto thee by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I like that, don't you? You know something? I believe God's people, especially tomorrow, we ought to pray every day. I don't know why it's in my heart, but they're moving the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. And I believe it opens tomorrow, and they're going to celebrate that tomorrow. There are a whole lot of people that hate the ways of God and hate the people of God. I don't know what might happen tomorrow. I hope nothing happens. But I'm telling you, this world's full of people that are gritting their teeth and are bitter from the inside out. They can't stand what's going on. Let me just narrow that down. There's people in the United States that can't stand to see what's going on. Are you listening to me? I believe with all of my heart it's time for God's people to realize we're not alone. We're part of a mighty army. I believe Timothy was proud just to be a private in the army of God, just to be one that could serve the Lord with gladness until he comes. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'll finish with this morning. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the difference a godly mama can make. It can raise a boy that's not afraid, raise a boy that's not ashamed, and raise a boy that's not alone. He can know that because thus saith the word of God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" He said, "As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." I don't know about you, but when I'm reading about Timothy, I'm reading about a young man that's got the Spirit of God on him, got the Spirit of God in him, and he's a conqueror. He's not living in defeat. He's living in victory. He's following after the Apostle Paul, which is following after the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an example of what Paul said when he said, "Be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Jesus Christ." Oh, thank God for mothers that can say, "Son, be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." Notice what the Bible said. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I say, hallelujah. A young man that's not afraid, not ashamed, and he's not alone. I believe that even this Mother's Day weekend, the reason so many people are doing what they're doing, many of them doing things to their body, putting things in their body, is because they feel alone in this world. But I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be alone. And you don't have to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. God is no respecter person. Anybody that will say to him, "Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. You're the Savior. You're the one that bled and died. You're the one that loves me. You're the one that rose again the third day. You're the Savior. You're the one that's coming back. I'm the sinner." You say, "Preacher, oh, it's got to be more to it than that." I'm going to tell you something right now. When a sinner meets the Savior in repentance, which means, "Lord, I'm not just acknowledging I am a sinner. I'm acknowledging, Lord, I'm sick of it. I'm telling you, Lord, I want a change in my life. I'm telling you, Lord, I'm tired of the guilt. I'm tired of the shame." I believe with all my heart, when a person comes to that place in their life, so many people today, you know, they've been talking in the news, you know, politics. Been talking about a blue wave this fall. Or a red wave this fall. Forget about all that. There's a lot of people think they're going to ride a Baptist way into heaven. Or a Presbyterian way into heaven. Or a Methodist wave into heaven. But I'm going to tell you, everybody goes to heaven. Came by way of the cross. One on one, one sinner, one Savior, repenting, saying, "Lord," you say, "Preacher, can't be that easy." Well, ask that thief. Right in the middle of it, Brother Johnny, he changed his mind about this whole deal. He had been saying, "If you're the Christ, come down and get us down." He heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them." Boy, I believe something went tick-tock in that old heart right there. I believe he began to think something like this. Boy, if he can forgive them, look what they've done to him. They've beat him to a pulp. They've spit on him. They pulled thorns down. They've nailed him to a cross. If he can forgive them, maybe, just maybe, he can forgive me. And he looked over and said, "Lord, that means I believe you are who you say you are. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I love the Savior's response. He said, "Today." In East Tennessee, we might say it like this: it won't be long, son. You'll be with me in paradise. I just want to say this: it won't be long, youngins. Every one of God's children will be with him. No longer in paradise. That was a place before the resurrection, if you understand your Bible. They'll be with him in glory. For us today, to be absent from the body as a child of God is to be present with the Lord. I want to tell you today, he loves you. And moms, live for God. I've just showed you one young man. This room's full of people that a godly mother made a difference in their life. You say, well, preacher, what if I didn't have a godly mother? I read over there, I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. The Bible said, when your mother and your father have forsaken you, Jesus said, I'll take you up. He'll still take you. He'll be whatever you need for the rest of your life if you'll trust him. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be in church, be at the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit that we were able, Lord, to sense his presence. Lord, I realize today that our minds and our hearts may be pulled in a dozen different directions. But I'm asking you, precious Lord, pull somebody's heart to yourself. Draw some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Draw them to yourself. Lord, I pray that every mother in the congregation would examine their heart. Maybe, Lord, there'd be folks today that would want to just come and kneel in an altar of prayer and say, oh God, I've failed. Lord, doesn't matter who we are, we could come and ask you, Lord, to make us a better father, a better mother, a better Christian. I pray, Lord, today for those that are lost, God, that day will come soon when they will realize, Lord, they need you. They'll get tired of the way it is and want a change in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd remind us throughout the day of Lois, a godly mother. Help us, Lord, that those of us whose mothers are living, to be sure this day to acknowledge our thankfulness. Help us. Help us. God, we need help in this generation. Help us, we pray. Save the lost and strengthen the child of God. In Jesus' name.